Okay, how are we doing today? Another championship banner in Boston. Congratulations to the Red Sox. That's great. It's awesome. And now we're back in the division with Pittsburgh. So.
Look, you talk about Aaron Dobson and the progress he's made, and just the general challenge for a rookie receiver to adapt to what you got to do on offense.
I think the adjustment for rookie receiver is huge in this league, in any offense. I really can't speak for what the other 31 teams do, but I just think in terms of the overall sophistication of the passing game in the National Football League, the players, the amount of press coverage on the perimeter, the number of different coverages, and really route adjustments that you have to make, situational play. Third down, red area, 2 minute, end of the game situations, all those, plus just the normal plays, really it gets pretty complex. But, Aaron's worked really hard. He's had a good training camp. He's had a good, good season in terms of improving every day. Certainly not perfect, but things get better. And, he works hard to improve in the areas that we ask him to, and he's made a lot of progress. He's still got a long way to go, but he's definitely gained a lot of ground from where he was, a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago at the start of training camp. So, it's a real credit to him. He's in good condition. He can go out there and have the stamina to go for a long time. And his techniques and his understanding and adjustments and all that are good. He's a smart kid, so, he understands and can take the coaching from the classroom to the field, or from the field to the next, the next rep. So he's doing a good job.
Do you recall for him a point when maybe that started for him, or was that pretty consistent from like going back to when you drafted him in April? If he came in and hit the ground running, or was there maybe a point?
Yeah, well, we didn't see a lot of him in the spring, he was. He wasn't able to participate in all the spring workouts, but I think you've really seen a good day-by-day consistency, on and off the field, on the field, in the weight room, his conditioning, in the classroom, walkthroughs, all that. It's, he's focused, and he keeps improving. I think it's a very steady, incline. I don't think it's been like one – obviously you can point to a couple plays, but – I think his overall improvement has been very steady and consistent. And he's tough. He's taken some hits. He's fought through some bumps and bruises, and he's stays out there and keeps going and gets through it. And that helps because, you can learn, but you can't really improve watching. You got to go out there and do it and get the timing and execution with your teammates. And he fights through it and does it.
Have you seen that from him at Marshall too, or is that something that you can't even really, whatever you saw there, it doesn't even really matter because it's a whole other?
Yeah, I think every player in the NFL was probably good in college. Other than, Steve Neal and, a couple other notable exceptions. So, if they weren't good in college, there's probably not too many of them playing in this league, with all due respect to college. Yeah, but guys like him are playing against a lot of smaller players. With all due respect, so you don't see guys in college. There's a lot of 5'9", 175-pound corners in college. I know because we're looking at, those aren't the ones we're trying to draft, but there's plenty of them out there. And so then when you see a guy that's got size, speed, and some toughness and all that, then they jump out at you. And there's not a whole lot of them.
It was about a year ago that you moved Devin to safety, and obviously he's been there almost exclusively since. How have you seen him progress? It seems like he's playing at quite a high level this year for you.
Yeah, he's done a good job for us, and he always does. Nobody works harder, prepares harder than Devin does. He's always in good condition. He's tough, and he really works at his job, whatever you ask him to play, whether it's nickel, corner, safety, kickoff coverage, kickoff returns, gunner, vice on the punt return. He's a very well-prepared and competitive football player in every situation. And his obviously experience and consistency at the safety spot has been good. He's had a lot of work with Steve this year and last year, but particularly this year, and then with even Duran. And so I think that all of those players have a good, rapport and communication system with each other. And again, a lot of times when you're playing that position, you're too far away to talk to somebody or there's crowd noise or whatever. You just have to give a signal or you just have to look and you both know, you know, just kind of both see it at the same time and say, okay, this is how we're going to play it. And, he does a good job of being proactive on that too, you know, taking advantage of, hey, in this situation, you know, I see it this way, let's do it this way. Sometimes you could go either way on something that's a little bit gray and just has to be, you have to make a definitive decision on it. And he's good at being decisive, and then whatever it is, we can play it. Whereas when you're kind of in between two things, then you don't play whichever one it is, it's no good. So, but works well with his teammates and does a good job individually on his preparation and, trying to do what you ask him to do, but he works well with his teammates.
I know you've said in the past that in terms of when you watch film with defensive players in the pre-draft process, he's one of the very better ones that you've worked with. Does that ability for him to study film so well help him even more now that he's at the back of the defense and he can see everything in front of him?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, to a point. But I think he has a good understanding of overall defense. If you understand the whole concept, then, that helps you know where you're more needed or less needed, where the matchups are, where we're vulnerable in certain calls against certain formations or, players that match up there. So, absolutely. But I think he has a good understanding of our entire defense. Not that he could play outside linebacker or play defensive tackle, but he knows what they're doing and understands, when they're involved in certain things. Again, it's just a good awareness and understanding of the total concept. And, let's say not a lot of guys have that, as comprehensively as he does.
Has it come in handy maybe even more this year because of, Vince going out, Tommy going out, Gerard going out, and having somebody who has such a good knowledge and has so much experience?
Yeah, I don't think it really is. I mean, when you're playing that position, I don't think you're that focused about who's in there. I just think, like when the line's slanting one way, then, you need to be a little more conscious of it going away from the slant. Or, if a line's, if we're walked out, in space with our outside linebackers or inside linebackers have to walk out a little bit, then, that creates, some coverage matchup issues that, they see a linebacker over a guy instead of a corner. Well, that's, we're a little bit more vulnerable there just on paper. So, I think that's more the kind of things I'm talking about. Or when a guy should be walked out and maybe he isn't, then he would remind the linebacker, we need to walk out on this guy or, that type of thing. I don't think it's, who's the nose tackle, how's he playing this block. It's more of just where they are, when they're over here or when they're slanting over there or when we're, blitzing up the middle and that puts more pressure outside or we're blitzing outside, then, or like I say, coverage matchups, who's got who, who's aligned where, what the quarterback could look at and expect to, where we would expect him to go, let's put it that way. And so that ties into disguising. A lot of times you want to disguise as a defensive back where you're most vulnerable and try to show the quarterback, well, this is where we are, so you don't want to go over here, but actually we're leaving here to go somewhere else and, hope that you can kind of take him out of it on a pre-snap look.
Bill, what do you remember back from the 2004 draft process in terms of Sopoaga? And obviously you guys took a couple of defensive linemen early in that draft. Was he a guy that you had looked at closely?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We talked about taking him, and we were going to take him, and we were just, around late. But, we'd already taken Vince, obviously, and, we had – but you can never have too many defensive linemen, and that was kind of the conversation. And he was right there. We were ready to take him, and we said, well, we think we can, get him one round later, and we'd already taken a couple guys, and so we, probably waited a little bit too long on that one.
Has his career played out kind of how you projected it would?
Where is he taking the fifth round?
Fourth
round, yeah. So, pretty good fourth round pick, I'd say. I think if you knew what his career was going to be, he would have gone in the second. He could have gone in the first ahead of some other people that have been drafted in that round, obviously. So, no, I'd say he's had a real good career. I mean, think of a fourth round pick that's done what he's done. I'd say it's not too many of them that have done that, right? So, yeah, I think it's been pretty good.
And I guess just along those lines, Tommy Kelly was, I think, that same year undrafted.
Yeah.
Was he a guy also that you, you know?
No, I think Tommy Kelly was, you know, off a lot of people's radar. You know, I talked to Mike Lombardi about him because, of course, he had him out in Oakland, and he was kind of a guy that really slipped through the cracks. And I know when Mike took him out there, he was, you know, thinking, you know, take a shot at him kind of thing, you know. But it was a great find by Mike, you know, and like what a career, you know, Tommy has had from being an undrafted guy. But he's been had an excellent career. But, you know, I think Mike really, you know, found him. And then once he started playing, then everybody in the league could see that, you know, he was a pretty good player. But no, I wish we had seen him, or, you know, been able to see what, you know, what Mike saw him, because really nobody was, there wasn't any action on him. And then once everybody saw him play, then it was like, oh my God, how do we miss this guy? You know?
Is it fair to assume practices inside today because of the wind?
Yeah, just for the lift safety. Yeah, we could go outside, but we don't want to put those guys up there, and you know.
I mean, 2 days, it's hard to tell, but I mean, with Sopawaga, what are your impressions of what you've seen of him in practice?
Well, he's been, I mean, he's played every game, you know, he's been playing. It's not like, you know, we signed a guy off the street. So I think he's in good conditions. You know, his reactions are what you would expect him to be. He's just got to, you know, get familiar with our terminology and, you know, some of the way we play certain blocks, or, you know, what his responsibilities are on blitzes and that kind of thing. But, you know, he's a smart guy, and he's obviously got a lot of experience. And as I said, he's been playing, so he's certainly in football shape. And he's, you know, I think he's doing fine. I mean, we got a couple more days. We got to clean up a few things, but he's, you know, I think he should. If he continues to progress through the week, I mean, I don't think there's any reason why he shouldn't be ready to, you know, to play.
What have you liked about the way the cornerbacks have stepped up the last couple of weeks without Akiva in there?
Well, even with Akiva, I mean, I think those guys have played well all year. I mean, they've done a good job. We've had them in a lot of different situations. They've all played inside. They've all played outside. They've flipped sides. At times they've been on tight ends or, you know, other like Clay or, you know, those kind of receivers, whatever you want to call them, backs, tight ends, you know, kind of mismatch type guys. So, you know, each week's been a different challenge for them, but each week they've met the challenge well and been ready to go. And, again, not perfect, but, you know, I'd say overall they've done a real good job. I think Josh, you know, and Brian Flores and the secondary, that both those guys have done a real good job with that group, because they've been in different positions. Like Coles, you know, played safety, he's played corner, he's played nickel. You know, he's played a lot of different spots for us, and, you know, the other guys have moved around too. So, you know, their versatility and their preparation. And, of course, you know, Tlaib did a tremendous job for us. So, you know, I don't want to take anything away from him. But, you know, those guys were there in all those games when they weren't throwing it a keep. So, you know, they've had to meet the ring, you know, come out with a bell every week.
Has Dennard made some big strides in the last year and a half?
Well, you know, he didn't really have much of a first half of the season last year, you know, and I thought that he did a good job for us in the second half, and then, you know, followed that up with a pretty, you know, solid off season, and, you know, solid training camp. And, I mean, he didn't have he missed some time in training camp when he was out there. I thought he was doing well. Then he missed a couple weeks there, and that has been, you know, consistent for the year. So I think kind of once he's gotten in there, it's been pretty consistent. That first half of the year last year was you know, he didn't participate very much, and, you know, that obviously slowed him down.
Bill, random Friday question. When you're in victory formation, you guys, or kneel down, whatever you call it, you guys usually have a receiver back deep. Is there any consideration to put, like, a safety back there, or a guy who's sort of a tackler or a defensive player in case of an emergency?
Yeah, you could. You put whoever you want back there.
But, I mean, is... what's the thought of that position? Is that what they're there for, in just that emergency situation if the ball pops out?
Yeah, I mean, we hope it never gets that far. That's kind of what the two guys are for there by the quarterback. You know, I think the whole issue of putting defensive players on the field on offensive formations, you just run into substitution problems. You run into, cadence and those kind of things and alignment and so forth. I mean, not saying you can't do it. We've done it. I mean, there are a lot of teams in the league that do it. But it's just, you got to cross that bridge. And so you call out a certain grouping, and one grouping has a receiver, another grouping has a defensive back, or, it's just another thing. You could do it. I mean, it's just another thing that you got to just do. So, we haven't done that. We've done that with a regular offensive grouping. And, we had a problem last year. I mean, it wasn't the kneel-down play, but it was the center in the ball play in the Arizona game, where we had a penalty on the play. I mean, which you wouldn't think would ever happen on that, but it did. So, just don't want to ever take anything for granted on those plays. But, yeah, we could definitely do that.
Not your favorite topic, but on the injury report, the hamstring added for Gronkowski, how much has that thrown a wrench into plans to just build his workload up as he comes back from the other issues he was dealing with?
We'll just list the injuries today at the end of practice and on the injury report the way we see it. And we'll do that with everybody. So.
Is there any merit to, obviously Tom's on the injury report, and he's considered the leader among the players on the team. To his teammates, seeing him go out and practice and, not make excuses and that stuff, and look to him as a leader and say, hey, he's going through it, I can go through it, and that sort of thing? Or is that kind of overblown?
I mean, we have to give an injury report, a daily and then a before the game Friday injury report with the league every week it's required. So it isn't about anybody wanting or not wanting to do anything. It's whatever it is, and that's the way we do it. We played 4 preseason games. This is our 9th regular season game. So we played 13 consecutive weeks, plus 2 weeks of training camp before that, plus however many practices we've had. So, who do we think that's playing is 100% in that locker room? I mean, let's list those guys. So, who's on that list? I don't know. Be a real short one. It's middle of football season. I mean, everybody on the team that's playing has got something. I mean, guys on a practice squad have stuff. Not saying it's, makes them doubtful or anything. I'm just saying there's something that's, it's playing football. I mean, that's part of it. I don't think any player in the league that's played that much football feels, quote, 100%. I can't imagine, name another player in the league that, it's as fresh as a daisy in the middle of beginning of November after 9 regular season games and, 6 weeks of training camp, preseason games before that. I mean, who would that be? I think that, if all the guys that didn't feel 100% didn't practice, we'd probably have 2 people out of practice. I don't know. Maybe not even that.
When you do add in the preseason and you're at 12 games, it's about the number of games, obviously, on a college schedule. Do you talk to the rookies about how to, physically just maintain themselves so they can finish strong the last 8, 10, however long?
We talk to the rookies. We talk to the entire team. We talk about those things all the time. From the first day of training camp all the way through preseason, all the way through the season. Because it all changes. September is not August. October is not September. November is not October or September. December is different than October. I mean, each point in the year, things change. I mean, our schedule changes. Our demands change. The weather changes. There's a lot of things that change. And we try to talk to them about all those things at the appropriate time, along with a lot of other things, but certainly that part of it, the conditioning, the taking care of yourself, the dealing with the climatic changes, the hydration changes, the nutrition changes, you know, our regular season training in the weight room and conditioning relative to our early season or preseason training. I mean, those are all, they're all important, but they're all different. And we try to talk to the players on a regular basis about all those things as they are appropriate and come up. Absolutely. That's, yeah, I think it would be irresponsible not to do that. And, you know, in some cases, rookies or veteran players, it's the same point in the season, but it's the demands maybe are a little bit different, or where they are is a little bit different. And so that's, you know, that's part of it too. I mean, we can talk to rookies about, you know, they've only been in a 12-game season, but, I mean, you can talk to other guys that have played, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of football, and trust me, it's a long season for them too. I mean, those guys that are 22 years old haven't been through, you know, 10 seasons of 16 or more game seasons. So, you know, where's the demand higher? You know, one guy's got more experience with it, but got a lot, you know, some tread on the tires. So I'm just saying it's a problem that every team goes through. Each player or group of players, I think, are different. It changes throughout the course of the year, and we absolutely try to stay on top of it. I'm not saying we're great or do a great job of it or anything, but we, you know, we address it absolutely without question. All right. Okay. Thanks.